Now, the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee announced this week that it'll hold four public hearings on the new state budget. Three of them will be in person in Whitewater, Rhinelander, and Menominee. One will be virtual. All of them will happen in April. After that, lawmakers will start debating the budget. Governor Evers released his proposal last month, but leading lawmakers say they will likely start from scratch. The governor's budget plan calls for boosting school spending by $1.6 billion, expanding Medicaid benefits to more than 90,000 people, pumping $200 million toward broadband access, and another $200 million to help businesses recover from COVID-19. The Wisconsin Policy Forum took a look at how the pandemic has upended state programs and how Evers' proposals and whatever comes out of the legislature could affect them. Jason Stein is Wisconsin Policy Forum's research director. Jason, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
Give us a sense, Jason, of how COVID has disrupted the state's finances in general.
Well, that's a really interesting question, I think. When you look at many of these programs, they're seeing these swings that you just haven't seen in a long time or haven't seen, period. Within the Medicaid program from December 19 to December 2020, we saw nearly 18% rise in participants. Within the state prison population, that dropped nearly 17%. School enrollment decreased by about 4%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a huge drop when you're talking about all our K-12 schools in Wisconsin. It's tens of thousands of students. So to give you a sense of the scale, the governor has a controversial proposal to expand Medicaid using federal money. That added about 90,000 people to the program. But the COVID impact has already added December to December, roughly 211,000, Rob. So it's more than double the impact of this proposal that the governor has already just from, you know, the impact of the pandemic and unemployment.
Now, one kind of surprising in some ways, bit of good news. The state's in better financial shape than we were projecting, say, a year ago, and everything was shutting down. A lot of state revenue was drying up. Where are we now?
Yeah, that's true. And so when you look back to where we thought we would be maybe in May or June, which was not the worst months of the pandemic, but were sort of, I think, some of the worst economic fears at that time. Since then, you know, state tax collections have held up relatively well, particularly corporate tax collections have been very strong for a variety of reasons we've written about. We've had federal relief funds and we've had targeted state spending cuts. And so you add all those things together, and we're really heading into this next budget in a relatively strong place fiscally. Now, obviously, many, many people in the state are hurting, and that puts a lot of pressure on state officials. But when you just look at the state's books, for now, we're holding up pretty well. And obviously, this American Rescue Plan has billions of dollars for state and local governments. So that's a big impact as well.
Talking to Jason Stein from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, looking at a new analysis of some key issues facing the governor and state lawmakers as they craft our new two-year budget for the state. We've hit, Jason, on a couple of the points you raised in that report. Another one you're looking at has to do with educational equity. And we know this was already a concern in Wisconsin, educational outcome gaps, racial disparities, and more. And now here comes the pandemic and learning from home and that being a bigger challenge for some students and some schools than others. What kind of challenges does that raise in the new budget?
Well, I mean, that is one of my biggest concerns as a parent and just as a citizen is the impact on students, particularly vulnerable students, of this pandemic and the loss of in-person classroom teaching. I mean, to the degree that we believe that funding and equipping a public school system of in-person instruction is meaningful, I would have to think that the loss of it or the impairment of it is meaningful as well. And we really haven't seen good data on that. And that's something that, in my view, we desperately need. But to look at the state's funding, you know, it's going to be a question of how much money does the state deliver from its own tax dollars to schools how much under state revenue limits are they going to let schools spend? And how are they going to distribute the money? Is it going to be on a flat per pupil basis, as many Republicans' budgets have done in recent years? Is it going to be more through the state's funding formula or through certain aids that are targeted to specific categories of students? The governor has his proposal, but obviously the legislature is going to rewrite it considerably.
Now, looking at local governments, Jason, I know I've seen national reports on how states at the state government level, like Wisconsin, are doing better than expected. Do we have a sense for the city governments, the county governments, the towns, how much the pandemic has affected them?
For both cities and school districts headed into the pandemic with relatively strong reserves, they are certainly going to benefit from the federal aid. I think it remains to be seen to some degree, but I think, so far they've held up relatively well. Certain areas have, like transit, have been hit incredibly hard, but have also received a lot of federal aid that, so far has enabled them to sort of hold up under the strain relatively well. So, I mean, that's certainly something that we'll be looking at the Milwaukee and Madison school district budgets here in the spring. And a lot of our school districts have held referenda successfully, and that has been a boost to them. And we'll see more in the fall. But I think, so far, again, I don't want to diminish the real challenges that are out there, but things are better than I think we would have expected back in, say, May or June.
Now, looking at Governor Evers' budget proposal, it would increase overall spending in the neighborhood of 10% or so. Again, state lawmakers are probably not going to use that budget as their building block. But just looking at that raw number, that increase in funding, how do you see that affecting the state's financial well-being?
The increase in funding for?
In the overall budget, not just one category, but the whole price tag.
Sure. Well, obviously the governor wants some tax decreases, but, on balance, a net increase of about $1 billion, with that coming from upper income earners, certain manufacturers, and federalizing our tax code to be more like what the IRS uses. Republicans are very, very unlikely to do that, Rob. So there's a lot of that money, that spending, out of the budget. The governor wants to expand Medicaid. We initially thought that would bring in an additional, or free up an additional, $630 million in state tax dollars over the next 2 years. Now, under this American Rescue Plan, that appears to add an additional $1 billion on top of that. So, but again, as we're talking about, the Medicaid expansion is unlikely for Republicans to go for that. So when you start to pull some of those things out of the budget, you pull out a lot of the spending. I think what it remains to be seen is what happens with state reserves. Under the governor's proposal, they would have really fallen considerably, maybe around $1.7 billion over the 2 years. The loss of those reserves is in some ways understandable given the pandemic and the economic crisis. At the same time, they're an important thing to watch, because to the extent that the state undergoes further troubles, they're a source of strength and can be used to sort of fill gaps. So, one thing that I'll be watching is, do the Republicans use about the same? Do they use more because they could also dip into the rainy day fund, or do they use less? And, that's something that we'll have to see in the coming months.
And it seems like Governor Evers and then the Republican leaders in the legislature are coming from very different starting points on the budget. We don't have the specific plan from the legislature yet. Do you see areas where you think they're going to be able to work together and be on the same page?
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I think we can't even be certain necessarily that the legislature passes a bill that the governor will sign. Even with his ability to make a lot of partial vetoes. But, we've talked about some of the areas where they're apart. There may be some areas where they can come together. rural schools, for example. The governor has done a number of things that would help rural schools. Many of those are represented by Republicans in the legislature, so they may be willing to do certain things like, you know, increasing some state aid, raising revenue limits, particularly the revenue limits for the lowest spending districts. You know, there are areas, you know, the governor has a lot of aid to small businesses. He has an enormous increase within the state's Economic Development Corporation to try and assist businesses impacted by the pandemic.
You still there, Jason?
Tax side, but maybe willing for spending there. Yeah. And so that's some of the areas where they might come together.
We'll leave it there. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Jason Stein, Research Director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We talked to him today about how the pandemic has affected state programs and how Governor Evers' proposed two-year budget and what we're hearing so far from the Republican-led legislature would address those challenges.